Last week we started our series, Follow Together. We looked at the need to follow in the steps of Jesus and the opportunity that we have individually and as a church. As I've been looking at following the steps of Jesus and the need the last several weeks, I've been reminded of two things. Several weeks of my preparation, I've been reminded of two things. Number one, following the steps of Jesus is hard. I think we all can say that. And number two, that God is a faithful God. Both of those are true statements. Following Jesus is hard, but God is a faithful God. Many of you came up to me after the sermon last Sunday and told me following Jesus is hard. And I quickly looked at some of you and said, yeah, amen, I know it is. As your pastor, I will tell you that that is truth. I have some hard days, days where I struggle. What is so amazing is in my days of struggle, I find a faithful God who not only is constant, but is an encourager. And you might be saying, how is he an encourager? Through his word. I find my hope and my encouragement in the word of God. So today, together, we're going to turn to our only source of true hope, the word of God. Today, our focus is on two things: how to start following the steps of Jesus, and number two, how to continue to follow the steps of Jesus when things get tough and hard, and even when things aren't tough and hard, how to continue. This morning, our main text comes from Mark chapter 8. So go ahead and turn to Mark 8 if you want to with me. But before we read scripture, let's one more time pause and go to the Lord in prayer, because if you're like me, you got a lot on your mind. You have a to-do list to get done. So let's pause and pray that we can focus together on what God has for us today. God, we give thanks that we're here. Lord, that you've blessed us with the opportunity to read your word together and to be challenged through and in your word. Lord, I pray that we can block out those distractions, the stuff that we might have literally in an hour or two, or the stuff coming this week. God, I pray that we can block that out and focus what you have for us for the next few minutes. In your name, amen. Mark 8, 34 through 36 is our key text today. It reads like this: Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, by the way, this is Jesus talking, and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their very soul? There are many verses in the Bible that we see and we find that talk about following Jesus. Last week I even mentioned some of them to you. What we see in our main text in Mark 8 this morning is Jesus telling us exactly what we need to do to follow in his steps. In Mark 8, Jesus was speaking to a crowd about the cost of following him. Jesus is in the middle of doing many things, many miracles in Mark chapter 8. And as we see throughout all the Gospels, as we saw in our study of John, when Jesus performed miracles, when Jesus taught, it brought forth opposition and it brought many to question him. Jesus looks at the crowd in the moment of our text and those questioning him, and he answers them with our scripture, our key text this morning. What we see laid out for us in the text, these aren't my words, it's laid out for us in the text, is the three things that we need to do to follow him. Number one is deny self. Number two is to take up your cross. And number three is follow. Before we look at those three things, I need to remind you of something though here. These aren't some author's recommendations. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus himself telling us all what we need to do. Let's dig into those three things deeper. The first thing that Jesus said was deny self. Deny self. If we ever want to follow Jesus, we must deny self. When I look at the three things that Jesus tells us in Mark 8, 34 through 36, this one for me is the hardest. I am stubborn. And way too often, I want my way. And I know I'm not the only stubborn one here in the room this morning. I think I know what I need. I think I know when I need it. I'm stubborn. In the original translations of this verse, we see the root word deny means to separate or to stay away. What this tells us is the first step in following Jesus is to forget oneself and interest, to stay away from what you think is best or what the world tells you. Why is this so hard for all of us to do? because it goes completely against our earthly desires. It goes against what the world tells us. Our flesh in the world tells us to put self first, to seek our own interest above anyone else's. But Jesus, he calls us to a different way of life. He calls us to a life that puts aside self to seek God first. You see, when we deny ourselves, we let go of our own desires and focus in on what God requires. That's hard to do. The first step we see in Mark 8:34 might be the hardest, but it's a step we can't skip. We can't skip this first step. Far too often we try to do both. We try to follow Jesus, and we try to follow the world. We try to have one foot in one and one foot in the other at the same time. Hear me today. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Time out. Morning. Sorry. That's the youth pastor in me. The rest of you adults, you all look at me, what's happening? When Jesus said this, he meant it. Oh, by the way, I feel sorry for the people listening to the recording later. That's going to be an interesting thing. Anyway, when Jesus said this, he meant it. The first step to following Jesus is to forget about your own desires and interest. You're no longer living for yourself. You're living for the higher calling that God has for you. When you do this, and it's hard, you're humbly submitting yourself to the plans that God has for you, and you're asking for God's will to prevail. Jesus then tells us the next thing to do in Mark 8. He tells us to take up our cross. After denying self, we're told to take up our cross. Now, some of us don't exactly know what this means. Often people don't fully grasp or fully understand what Jesus is saying here. Many people say that taking up your cross means you're willing to die to follow Jesus. Others say it means you're constantly fighting off your sinful desires and temptations. No matter how you look at it, if you look at it one way or the other, no matter how you look at it, both lead to the same point. Both are acts of surrender. What I do know and what I want you to take hold of this morning is taking up your cross means you're surrendering to Jesus. When you take up your cross, you're choosing to follow the example of Jesus, the example that Jesus showed us. You're choosing to follow the steps, no matter where they may take you. And sometimes they take you to scary places. The third thing that Jesus tells us is to follow. Follow. Jesus looks at those he's speaking with in Mark 8 and tells them one final thing they need to do. He tells them to follow him. When Jesus says follow him, he's saying you have to have no reservations. You can have no reservations. You can't question. Your steps are now through surrender and obedience, no matter what they cost or what the future holds. When you break down this text of Mark 8 this morning, it's not a stretch to say the first two things that we read and see in it, deny self and take up your cross, prepare us for following him. When we deny ourselves, our focus is on God, his will and desires. When we take up our cross, it trains us to reject temptation and sinful wants and desires. If we're taking the first two steps to following Jesus, it won't be as hard. The problem is we often like to skip steps. We often want to get to the following before we do what it takes to follow. Anybody ever bought anything from IKEA and seen the instructions that they have? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Usually I put the instructions aside and I'm like, I'm going to build this bed. It says, no, you don't know how to use for power tools. Well, daddy's plugged in the drill. We're gonna figure this out. I think they know my name now at IKEA for how many things I've taken back. Well, that's how we are with following God. We want to get to there. but we want to skip the steps that Jesus says is required. We don't want to put in the work. We don't have to surrender or give up. Mark 8, 34 through 36 tells us what we need to do. Jesus tells us what we need to do to follow him. At its core, this verse commands us to forget our self and interest and to conform to the example of sacrifice and follow Jesus no matter the cost. One thing we can all agree on this morning, I've said this already, it's hard. The other word that quickly comes to me when I think about following Jesus is it's often overwhelming. I want to spend the rest of our time together this morning giving you some steps on how you can do it, how you can follow Jesus. The first is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior of your life. This might seem like a weird first step to mention as we're sitting in church this morning. But the truth is this. Many want to follow Jesus, but most aren't willing to do what it takes. The first, the most important step that you must take is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Choosing to follow him. It all starts with this. Know this today. Receiving the gift of salvation is not the end. It's only the beginning. Jesus loves you and wants to have an eternal personal relationship with you. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you take the first step into creating an eternal and personal relationship with him. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, he forgives you of your sins, delivers you from the fear of death, and loves you unconditionally. Many years ago, I was backpacking in Europe. I had studied a university in Ireland, and we had time afterward, and I was in Europe backpacking, and my buddies thought it'd be a good idea to go on a pretty hard hike in the Alps. We were in Austria, thought it'd be a pretty good idea to go on a hike, and it better to call it a mountain climb than a hike, probably, looking back on it, because we had to sign papers to have permission to go on this hike. We also had to hire and choose a guide. Walking out of the building after signing the papers, we stood in front of at least 10 different guides trying to get our money. They all were telling us that they were the best. They wanted to lead us. They wanted to show us the way. I'll never forget one of my buddies is like, let's hire the girl. Just because we were young college guys. And I said, let's hire the one that looks experienced. And he goes, how do you know? I said, the one that has the cuts and bruises and battle scars. So we made a choice. We hired a guide. Our guide was an incredible person. Taught us a lot of stuff. That is exactly what we need to do in life. We have many ways we can go. Many paths we can travel. We have many guides that can lead us and tell us how to follow. We have many guides that will tell us to trust them. We must choose the guide that has the scars. The known and trusted guide. We must choose Jesus. Because I'll never forget going on this hike and looking at what was in front of us and the guy pointing to where we were going and looking to my left and right at my buddies and saying, there's no way we're ever going to get there. Well, we got there. And it was hard. It wasn't easy. But holy cow, it was beautiful in the end. That's like life. We must accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the trusted and known guide, and follow him. We must turn and repent and follow his steps and only his steps. Standing in front of the guide that morning, none of us had a clue what we were doing. But we all had a choice to make. Yes, we chose the guide. You all are in church this morning. But we had to choose to follow our guide. You all in church this morning have to choose to follow Jesus. There's a difference. It's easy to say, Jesus is my guide. He's my Lord. But are you following? That's where it gets hard. When you accept Jesus, you trust Him. You believe in Him, and you know His ways and steps are the only ones to follow. You believe the words of a verse that I've said many times in John 14:6, where Jesus said, He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life, and you're going to follow Him. You know that's the only way. Hear me today, you can't skip this step. There's no following Jesus if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The next step, the next thing you can do is to trust and obey. When I was little, my grandmother always sang a lot of songs. But one of them that she always sang to me that I remember, there's a few and I'll share it here in a second. If she wasn't singing it, she was humming it. The song was an old hymn that we sang in church a lot when I was growing up. Many of you know it. It was titled Trust and Obey. I want to read to you some of the lyrics. When we walk with the Lord in the light of this word, of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us still, with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but if blessed, we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the lights of his love. Until all on the altar we lay, for the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, all for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Man, that makes me think of my grandma, sorry. The words of this song remind me of grandma, but they also remind us of this truth. If we're ever going to follow Jesus, we must trust and obey. I'll be the first to admit singing the song is easy. Actually doing it is hard. When we choose to follow Jesus, we choose to trust Him and His ways. This isn't an easy thing to do. Following Jesus in our world today can come with a lot of worry, a lot of doubt. When the news is constantly filled with evil and difficulty, it's easy to struggle with trust. It's easy to wonder if God is still working, if God is still on the move. When we choose to follow God, we choose to trust over worry. We choose to trust over doubt. This is what happens when you follow God. You give God your worries and you allow Him to dictate your steps. You let Him lead. It's all about giving Him your all, despite having no idea what the outcome may be. As Christians, we must surrender to His plans and expectations for us. We must lay aside our own desires for His. Even during hard times, when many turn away from God because they lose hope, we must trust Him. God always knows best. It's time we trust. We must also obey. When you're obedient to God, it proves your faith and your love for Him. If you're a Christian this morning, you're the hands and feet of Jesus to a lost and a broken world. Knowing this is one thing. Being the hands and feet of Jesus is something completely different. In a world full of disappointment, hate, anger, Christians and churches are to be the light. We're told this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. We're told to be the light that points to hope, and if hope has a name, its name is Jesus. We must do what Jesus said. We must do what Jesus did. We must go to the broken, the lost, and the hurting. Jesus sends us all out today. We must choose to obey and do what he asks. One way we obey Jesus' teachings is by putting them into practice, doing what they say. Even though what Jesus says is hard and difficult, even though at times it can be overwhelming and confusing, we must obey. We must do what he says no matter what. If we're ever going to follow Jesus, we have to trust and obey. For there's no other way. The third step is to know your weapon. Last week I talked about D-Day. I talked about soldiers preparing for battle. One of the things I didn't spend a lot of time talking about was in great detail is the preparation that the soldiers went through getting ready to fight. The soldiers that invaded the beach that day in Operation Overlord were well-trained, they were well-equipped for whatever came their way, whatever obstacles that they faced. They spent hours in training, hours preparing. The thing that they spent the most time on, though, was their weapon. They knew their weapon. They knew how it worked, what to do if it wasn't firing, if it was jammed, how to take it apart, how to protect it, and how to use it. Today, we must do the same. We must know our weapon. We must know the Word of God, the Bible. Too many Christians and churches today are trying to stand for Christ and don't know the Bible. They don't know the Word of God. Too many Christians today are trying to make it without knowing Scripture. The sad truth today in our country is this: most Americans own 2 to 3 Bibles and never use them. When it comes to Sunday, most have to look for their Bible or don't even bring it to church. Some of you ask me often, why don't I put the Scripture on the state, on the screen? Hey, I'm not attacking anybody that does it. My Brian does. I'm not attacking anybody that does it, okay? It's their prerogative. Why do I not do it? Because I'm a youth pastor at heart, and I love hearing this. I love hearing the words of Scripture being turned. Hear me today. If you're ever going to be able to follow Jesus, you have to be turning the pages of God's Word. You have to know your weapon. Parent, hear me today. About said tonight. Hear me today. If your children are ever going to follow the steps of Jesus, they have to see the pages of God's Word being turned in front of them. It means us as parents, and I'm right there with you, we have to model it. Jesus shows us this in Luke 4. He shows us the importance of Scripture when Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. He is facing Satan face to face. And Jesus turns to Satan and fights him off with these words: "For it is written." What is Jesus doing there in Luke 4:4? He's referring to Scripture. He's fighting Satan off with the weapon that is Scripture. Listen to me this morning. If you're ever going to stand to fight Satan off, you have to know what is written. You have to know where to turn. And the hope and truth that's found in God's Word. Do you know, I ask you this morning, do you know the weapon? Do you know your weapon? Do you know what is written? Deciding to follow Jesus requires constant effort to continue learning something new about God every single day. Having a personal relationship with God starts with hearing and digging into the Word of God. If you have a Bible, and listen, I don't want to beat you up, because there was a season in my life where I showed up to church And I literally had to pretty much dust off my Bible every Sunday. So I never want to come across as perfect from up here. But if you have a Bible, read it and learn more about your Savior. Dig into Scripture. Learn your weapon and use it. The final step we can take, or you can take, or we, is to talk to Jesus. Far too often we forget to do this. We get so busy, we simply forget how powerful prayer is. Prayer is one of the most important things you can do as a Christian. I put it right there at the top. Prayer is a chance to spend time with God. It's a time to share how much you love Him. It's a time to confess your sins and ask for forgiveness. It's a time to thank Him for His blessings and His faithfulness. In our world today, we don't spend much time in prayer. We seem to only pray when we need something. The saying is so true: if you want a busy church, have a potluck. If you want to have an empty church, have a prayer meeting. See you next Sunday at the potluck. Forgot that that's next week. I shouldn't have probably. Anyway, it's true. It's time we pray again. It's time we talk to Jesus individually and as a church. Every great movement of God, any revival, every revival started with prayer. Every prodigal coming back home started with prayer. God talks to us through Bible study. We talk to God through prayer. I think you've heard me say that a few times. If you're ever going to be able to follow the steps of Jesus, you have to be talking to your guide. I remember hiking. I told you about that earlier. One of the first things our guide told us was keep your socks dry. And then he said, talk to me. Talk to me. Ask me questions. Talk to me. I got experience. I've walked this road before you, this path. Talk to me. Talk to Jesus. He's got experience. He's walked this road before us. We must, with urgency, pray. Pray big prayers. Pray prayers of thankfulness. Cry out to God in your brokenness and your struggle. Jesus sees you. He sees all of us this morning, and He wants to hear from us. Cry out to your leader. Ask Him for help. Ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him for guidance as you follow Him. He's always ready to listen. He doesn't see your name come across His phone. I do this. And, oh, put it away. He's always ready to listen. Earlier, I read you a song, Trust and Obey. Well, I was wrestling with how to end this sermon, how to put it all together, and I don't know if I opened the can of thinking about Grandma when I did the Trust and Obey, but I have another song for us to think about this morning to put this all together. There's another song my grandma sang every single day as she cooked my eggs before preschool, kindergarten, through second grade. Every day, she sang this. The song is, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you now decide to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back. I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're following Jesus every day, and maybe it's getting easier for you. Or maybe you're like me. Maybe it's hard, and it's a struggle, a daily battle. What I do know is this. Jesus tells us, he told us what it takes. Deny self, to take up our cross, and to follow. Are you doing it? Are you choosing to follow? Even when it's hard, we must follow. Even when it's overwhelming, we must follow. Even when it's scary, we must follow. Even when it's lonely, we must follow. Even when it costs you something, we must follow. Even when every single person around you is going the opposite direction, we must follow. Will you decide to follow Jesus today? Even if that first step is small, follow. Even if you don't know what the next step brings, follow. Even if you haven't taken a step in a long, long time, follow. Even if you're the one that everyone in your family or all around you this morning thinks has it all together, follow. God, we give thanks today for the truth, the hope, and the way that's found in your word. Jesus, what you tell us in Mark 8, there's no other way to put it. It's hard to do. But God, you're a faithful God. You're a guide that doesn't get lost, distracted, overwhelmed, or anxious. You're a guide that is consistent, that's gracious, that's kind, that's loving. And Father, I pray in a world that tells us many ways, many things on how to do or how to get there, God, that we choose the trusted, known guide. That we turn to our guidebook, our weapon that is the Word of God that will lead us, direct us, and guide us. God, I pray for those of us in the room this morning that are sitting there thinking, am I following? Am I doing what it takes? I pray for those of us in the room this morning that are thinking about the ones in their family that aren't following, that aren't doing what it takes. I think of the ones in the room this morning that are anxious, overwhelmed, lonely, scared, worried, doubting, or facing a mountain before them that they choose to follow. God, I pray that we at Walk by Faith are a church full of individuals that are choosing to follow Jesus. And that we're a church that's following you in the steps that you desire for us to take. God, give us boldness, give us courage, and give us strength to continue or to start again or to start. God, your arms are opened. Your hand is reaching out today. And you're saying, grab a hold and follow me. In your name we pray. Amen.